50 words a minute, you certainly can't be running a 10 millisecond rise time, and it's fall time, so you have to take that into account. So just the facts. What do you need for your radio? Well, 70 dB I think is adequate most of the time on sideband. And you think, well, this makes sense. Almost every upconversion radio that came out for 20, 25 years before we started hearing about roofing filters or selectable roofing filters, it was about 70 dB, maybe 68, maybe 73, but it was about 70. Well, we used them, that's all we had, unless we were running a Drake or a Collins or something or other, you know, older than that. And they're okay. Why? Because the transmitted distortion products are generally worse than the radio. But on CW, that's not the case. As we see here, KC away from a typical signal, it ought to be out of the picture. So it's easiest to do this with the down conversion radios. Now that's not technically correct, because in 160 you're converting up to, let's say, 9 megahertz, and 20 meters converting down, but that's what they're using the term down conversion, meaning a low IF between 5 and 11 megahertz. It's a lot harder to do it, and so far none of the total up conversion radios have been able to come anywhere like even to 90. So here's what's sort of possible, and what, you know, I'm saying, really like an 80 dB radio. And maybe you want a safety factor, so I'll get a little bit more than that, but you want an 80 dB radio. So the Omni 6 was okay. The 7800, pretty expensive radio. I owned one for 5 months and thought, well, I'm going to sell it and put up more towers because it did me more good. But the Orion came along there, the Orion 1, 93. So we went from 70, typical, to 93 with the Orion 1. The Orion 1 had a couple of things that made it 90, made it slightly limited, and particularly limited if you went to the narrowest roofing filters, the 250 or the 500, it went down in the 70s. So they actually told Jack Birchfield, why don't you try this? And they did, and they made the Orion 2 95, but it was 95 regardless, so that was good. Even with a 1 KC spacing in the 300 hertz roofing filter, it was 95. The Flex has got big numbers. The Omni 7 is a price point radio. It's still an up conversion radio, but they kept the gain really low till they got to 455, put in some Collins filters. If you don't put the Collins filters in, the 500 or the 300, forget it on CW. But for sideband, it's fine. But you got to put an optional filter in the Omni 7 if you're going to use a CW contest. The K3, of course, that really took the market by storm because they had better ergonomics, I'd say, than the Orion, and pretty reasonable priced if he didn't put 2 radios and 10 roofing filters in, which really jacks the price up. But, you know, you could put one CW filter, one sideband filter, have a darn good radio. So 95 dB, way more than you really need. There's the 590 at 88. Well, if you said, well, I want an 80 dB radio and I want a 10 dB safety factor, well, okay, that's 90. Certainly that's silliness. Well, 88's wonderful. But again, that's when it's in the down conversion mode. The Tentec Eagles 90, it worked really well in the contest. I didn't like the ergonomics, but it didn't fall apart. There was, you know, I didn't miss a contact because of that. It just was more clumsy. And then the Azu came out on top, even though it's got the problems on sideband. And also, by the way, on AGC, not ALC, but AGC, a lot of radios today, the first radio I've found doing well, there was the Orion 1 and 2. I owned a 7000 for a while, 30 days. The AGC goes nuts on clicks, ticks, pops. I have a neighbor that has cows. Sometimes his electric fence is on. That electric fence drives a lot of radios nuts, and it certainly drove the 5000 nuts. If I'm talking to a guy 20 over 9, it didn't make any difference, but if I'm copying some guy S3, S5, tick, 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 S9. The S meter goes up to S9 from just a little tick.
You said the 5000. Did you mean the 7000?
Both of them. Yeah, the Azu 5000 gets, it may be worse. Certainly is bad. I mean, it was just I had it for 3 months and it was weak signals. It was really annoying because there's ticks, clicks, and pops out there that are not my electric fence. Electric fence isn't on all the time. I don't know where they come from, and they're just there. And so the AGC is getting knocked up to S7 or something like that, S9, and I'm trying to copy a guy S3, and it's really crazy. And that doesn't have to be. The Pro 3 doesn't do it. That's the last ICOM radio that doesn't do it. Everything newer than that does it. So why? It's Pro 3 is a DSP radio. The Pro 2 is a DSP radio. They don't do it.
Rob, I can't remember on the 5000, the second receiver, it's a high IF, right? Or
which one?
The FTDX 5000.
No, that's a low IF.
So both receivers in there are low IF?
What do you mean? Oh,
the second receiver in that, I thought.
I don't know about the second receiver.
I just wondered if you took a look at that one.
No, I didn't. I didn't even use it. So kind of like the Orion, stay tuned. There'll be something new coming out from Tentec.
The funny thing about this is the NorCal 40A, which is a cheap little QRP, falls into this. It's got an 85 dB dynamic range.
Yep.
It's got an MDS of minus 135 dBm. And that's... Simple architecture.
Right. And if you have, I don't know if it came with an attenuator, obviously you could add an attenuator to it. You don't need the minus 135, probably, certainly on the low bands.
It's a 40 meter only.
Okay, 40 meter only. So, heck, put a pad in it. Let a switchable pad, 10 dB pad, boom. So,
yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Probably got low phase noise, right?
Yeah.
So, it is, that's kind of funny that you could do that well, or what's it cost? $100 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the cost of building?
I think the kit's $135. You know, and it puts out about 3 watts, which is, you know.
But if you wanted to drive and build an amp, you obviously build amps, so.
Yeah. I mean, I've worked 11 states on the thing when I converted one to sideband, running half a watt.
So. All right, here's a listing of radios. Kind of typical stuff that it meets, well, the top one there, the K2, it met the 80 dB number, and things that go downhill from there. And the funny thing, well, it isn't funny, it's the sad thing is, the FT2000 is a 60 dB radio, and that is an old radio. So, you know, matter of fact, the 950 is a better radio from that standpoint than the 2000. And of course, they've been 2000s on the used market, they dumped on it like mad. So, no, I haven't seen it. There is the R4C down near the bottom, and that's why when I bought it, it didn't perform. It was less than 60. You put a roofing filter in it, it went up to above 80. So that's what started me in this sort of 35 years of receiver investigation. And there at the bottom, that's the worst radio I've ever tested, and the league even tested it, probably because Yaesu might be an advertiser. And they said it, they didn't say it was the worst radio they ever tested, but they said it is not a contest radio.
I bet there's a Radio Shack or two out there.
Yeah, that is probably right. Okay, so now, well, I'll call this strange ARRL dynamic range numbers. In up through 2006, they were measuring the same way I was. They finally started doing 2KC testing for 5 or so years before that. For a while, it only showed up on the web with their expanded reports. It wasn't in QST, but eventually they started putting it in QST. And of course, the numbers are usually a lot worse at 2KC than anywhere at 20, because it went through the wider filters, unless it was like a K3 or something, which didn't make any difference. So it took me a while, several years, to figure out why are their numbers so much bigger than my numbers. And then I finally found out, I'm talking to their tech guy, that they were using a really narrow spectrum analyzer to see, not hear, but to see the distortion product is totally covered up by noise. So Ken was over the other day when we were testing the 7410, I think it was, and so we wanted to do it the league way, and I'd done it the league way a few times, and so we used an HP 3585, which has a 3 hertz filter, and we could see the distortion product even though we couldn't hear it. Then Ken, since he's such a genius at running this test equipment, he said we could do it in the 8568, put it in averaging mode, so we averaged it for 50 sweeps or something. Yeah. And on the 3585, it took 222 seconds to sweep it, so you can see, probably don't copy CW, one character every 222 seconds. Now, I have an FFT analyzer. I'm going to try that at some point. That would get the answer faster. But the league's into this very narrow test. Now, their numbers aren't wrong. I just question, what do they prove? So here's what you have to do to do it the league way, and they're still going to do it the league way, but there is a change coming. So this, you can see the passband of the 500 hertz filter, and that signal on the left that has the red arrow is a reference signal because we can't hear anything but noise. So we measure the noise floor of the radio. In this case, it was minus 130 dBm. So we put a third signal in the passband at minus 130. So we have something to compare it to because we can't use the 3 dB peak on the RMS meter coming out the speaker anymore. So that the right arrow is the distortion product, and you play with your generators that produce this third order product to make the two blips the same. So that's right, but before 2006 and before, and for me still, if the radio degrades due to phase noise, reciprocal mixing, 3 dB, then I call that the limit. And at this radio, a 7600, just happened to be what I was testing, came up 78 dB. But if you measure it and look for that signal buried in the noise, it comes up 87 dB. So that's why the numbers are so much bigger coming out of QSD. There you can see right at the bottom, 222 seconds. That's what the sweep took in order to get that. I don't know how slow CW you'd have to send a copy through a 3 hertz filter, but my guess it's pretty slow. So the old method, as I said, we look for a 3 dB degradation. So I'm going to play a little clip here that shows the distortion product at the noise floor. You can hear the tone in there, hopefully. And then with what we were just seeing there with this diagram, here's what you hear out the speaker. Just noise. Nothing else but noise. So I don't know what that's supposed to prove, but if we measured a radio that had no phase noise, let's say we measured a Drake or a Collins, we'd get exactly the same answer because there wouldn't be any phase noise, reciprocal mixing. Now, when the 7800 came out in 2006, they said it was an 80 dB radio. And at 1 kilohertz, they said it was 67 because the phase noise really went to heck. 1 kilohertz versus 2. And then they fixed that with we'll call it the Mark II version, the 7800, which is the one I had. But then in 77, they tested it again, and it was 86. And that, in that case, showed the difference of the two measurement methods for that particular radio. And they didn't publish anything at 1 kilohertz for, I don't know why, because by then it would have been better. So here's the 7410 measured the old way, the new way. So wide-spaced, phase noise is not much of a problem. There was some phase noise, some distortion product. It came up, 107, so big numbers. At 20 kilohertz, it was noise limited at 102. At 5 kilohertz, it was noise limited at 90. At 2 kilohertz, it was 78. But if you use the 3 hertz method, it was 89. So you just have to take that into account. That's just a different way to test it. Now, the league is adamant that this is some viable way to do it, and it's different. So Ken and I measured the 7410 three different ways, and as you just heard, with the 500 hertz bandwidth come out the speaker, there was nothing but noise. And with the 3 hertz bandwidth, you saw it. That was the picture you saw, except it was a different radio. And then you could do the same thing with the 10 hertz filter if you just average it out over like 50 sweeps. Now, the thing that's sad is it's kind of now hard to tell apples from oranges because the Flex 3000 measures 90 with the old method, but it measures as high as 99 with the new method. And even stranger, the Flex 5000 was tested in pre-2006, and the 3000 was tested 2007 or newer. It looks like the 3000 is better than the 5000, but it's not. And Gerald really annoys Gerald because if you don't realize it, they totally changed the testing method. So it looks like the 3000 is a better radio than the Orion 2 or the K3. And it's not. So I've sort of covered that. The League and I have come to a compromise. We spent a week emailing back and forth, and we're getting a little nasty, but we finally said, okay. And Adam Farson, VA7OJ, he made a suggestion. He says, why don't you say more and print a table? Because the League does measure reciprocal mixing, and they always kept coming back to me. The information's there. Well, if you look at QST, one of you, where are you, had QST open a little bit ago. Yeah. And the whole 2 pages of data and one line about this long had the reciprocal mixing data. And never mentioned in the text ever, but it had the data there. But no one paid attention to it, and it was just kind of lost in the shuffle. So the League said, okay, we really have underplayed that. We didn't intend to underplay it. We're going to change. What exactly will appear in print in maybe December or January, I don't know. But they will start talking about phase noise limited dynamic range, blocking dynamic range, and third order dynamic range. Except for the reciprocal mixing, phase noise limited dynamic range, they will still use the 3 hertz method. But they will publish the other one in the, you know, the colored graphs. They'll have these little arrows, this color thing, and it's got green on one end and red on the other, or whatever, and it's got little yeah. carrots. They're going to add a phase noise one there, I believe. And then hopefully in the table, they'll show all the data and then they'll compare it. That's what they're talking about.
Why are they so stuck on this 3K, 3-cycle?
Because they don't like saying it's phase noise limited. They want us to measure the number. Now, if you're a design engineer and you have measured this, most of the radios today, you say, you know, I don't need to spend any more time making the dynamic range better, making the distortion better. I need to make the synthesizer better.
Well, but I would think phase noise limited would be the thing to say.
Well, that's what I've been saying for since day one, and they said up through 2006, but they're saying, well, at higher signal levels, it's not referenced the noise floor, blah, blah, blah. But my concern beyond that is if the OEMs know that phase noise no longer matters in a test,
oh, man.
Well, then we can just forget about it. So we might have, instead of a radio that's 10 dB worse, measured the other way, maybe it's 15 dB worse. Maybe it's 20 dB worse. So hopefully when they, whatever they do actually publish in, let's say, January, assuming there's something to review, that it will emphasize it enough. And they're going to make a sidebar explaining all this, to why they're changing it. It may take a while to come up with a compromise on what this group will decide is good wording. But I told Ed Haar, I said, I want to know when my radio is going to fail. I don't care where it fails. It fails on blocking. It fails on overload. It fails on phase noise. If it fails, it fails. I want the worst case number, and I'm going to decide. I need so many dB. I'm going to go buy a radio that satisfied what I've decided. And if I'm working sideband rag chew, who cares? So it just depends on what you need and what you think is the number that I want to is good enough for my needs and I can afford. So. That's where I'm coming from, but obviously the League's on a different page, but at least now the plan will be that you'll have both equally represented, and you can pick whether you want to look at the reciprocal mixing limit or the third order limit, realizing it's kind of going to be 10 dB higher probably.
They always show the transmit phase noise plot, and the thing that's, and of course that's going to influence the receiver because it's the same oscillator. The thing that bothers me is they used to really fall off. Now they'll go out to a megahertz almost flat at minus 130 dB
yeah.
C per hertz.
Well, and of course, no one's emphasizing it. So I made a comment to Ed because Ken and Tom,
or
Tan and Larry, did that test about a year and a half ago,
yeah.
approximating field day. Now, it's not unusual to have a sideband station on 20 and a CW station, and a sideband station on 40 and a CW station. Well, the flex was 20 dB worse than the K3 at 80 to 100 kilohertz away. Because it has a totally flat phase noise. It doesn't like get slightly better and then kind of plateau. It's just straight across. So that is a problem in certainly field day. You got a neighbor a mile or two away. You're running multi-multi, good Lord. So it's a bigger problem than the League really want to admit. But now they're going to change their mind. So let's hope that Let's hope it points it out. They're not going to give up on the 3 hertz, but that was, there was just obviously no way that was going to happen.
Rob, are they going to do anything? I can't remember, you might have said this before, about making sure that people understood what's apples and apples, like when they changed their test method or identifying what a 3 hertz measurement is, so that if somebody's going back to historical
right.
data and looking at...
Well, the cutover was somewhere, 2006 was old, some point in early 2007 was new. I don't know the month. And they said in this email that, like, nothing is in stone yet, don't promise anything, and I'm, you know, I'm just between the group here, but I'm not going to put anything on, you know, website about it, that they, if they have the data and can go back and, like, update the report somehow, I don't know, change the PDF files, I don't know what they'll really do, but they know that there's going to be lack of data, and there will be holes in the data at some point. Now, interestingly...
Do they use your data up there? I mean, yours is well-published everywhere.
Never did until that, a few months ago? Somebody, matter of fact, the guy that was at Contest University, Ward Silverman, he talked about all my tests. Well, it was in the TS-590 review, right? Mm-hmm. And he didn't call me up to ask me, why is it that it's listed as number 8, but it's also listed as number 9? Well, it wasn't. It was listed as number 8 and number like 34, but to compare the two, I put the two up conversion, down conversion right next to each other so you can compare all the other numbers. And it says for comparison now. I didn't think of that initially, so I thought anybody would figure that out, because if you looked out at the other numbers, it certainly wasn't in order, but so it now says for comparison. He said he did make a lot of comments about my website, which is kind of surprising, but other things have happened. About 3 years ago at Dayton, there was some sort of a dinner for all the people there with, I guess the OEMs are being represented. Anyway, some group that League was there, I think it was Ed Harb, made a presentation, and they said that I had forced them to improve their testing over the years. And I was about, Fred Osterman at Universal in Columbus told me this, and I about collapsed on the floor. So, and now I guess we're, you know, by butting heads, we've made some progress. But we're never going to totally agree, but I think we're going to be a little better off than we were.
Are they trying to protect some of their advertising?
They deny that upside down and forward.
Yeah, they volunteered that right up front.
Now, I will not tell you who told me this, but an advertiser told me. He says, when am I going to get my product reviewed in QST? And he was told, you do not advertise enough. He upped his advertising, and he got his product reviewed in QST.
Amazing. There's an empirical example of that. You can go through all the archives of QST, and you'll never see a review for a Henry amplifier. And you'll never see an advertisement for a Henry amplifier.
Huh. Isn't that a coincidence?
Bloody enough.
Yeah. So... even though I implied by, I didn't say strange way that AWRL measures things, I said bogus, but I'm not saying bogus anymore. I'm trying to get along, but they said there is absolutely no correlation between what comes out of the lab reviews and what advertising is. So, okay, that's their official position.
Yeah, they gotta say that.
Yeah, right.
Just like Clinton said, you know.
Depends what his means, huh?
Right.
So, how good's good enough? We want a high dynamic range receiver. 70 dB, 70 will work out pretty well on sideband, and 80 will work out pretty well on CW. W8JI has pretty much said 80 dB is fine. I've said 80 dB is fine since the late 70s. It's not perfect. We'd rather have a 90 dB radio. And now we've got at least 8 radios that are 88 dB or better. And then we're going to choose other things. Does it break? Do we like the ergonomics? Is it got good service?
Does it sound good?
Yeah. Does it sound good? There's plenty of radios I don't like to listen to. They just sound harsh, and I just don't like them. So, but there's lots of choices now. We've got at least 8. If you said I want a safety factor, then sort of say high 80s are better for CW guys. But I don't own one that's that high. So what do? I run my attenuator. I run 10 or 12 dB attenuation on the 160 meter contest. There's no noise floor problem on 160. Obviously, you can run a 20 dB pad and hear just as well. So utilize what you've got. Make the best. You know, we have what we have. If we like the radio and you're really going to go in serious on a CW contest, you're on the low bands, never turn the preamp on and punch your attenuator on. So here's the numbers of a typical radio, you know, 0.2 microvolt sensitivity, plenty good, minus 135 noise floor, plenty good. And the tests are as good as they are. We can never approximate CQ worldwide in the lab, but we do the best we can, and we look at the numbers, and then we try to get input from other operators who are using them. And it's been really fun since I've been out there in the country to really take these radios that I've been testing in the lab and really get to play with them on the air. And things show up you wouldn't have thought of. There we are.